Well, guys, Lloyd and Sheldon, welcome back once again.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Walking away. Now, you know, from what to what? One of the things that I've found in my life, and folks, we do try and express our own opinions, and we try not to use words like we when we're talking about feelings and so on, because no one on this planet can feel or experience anything exactly the same way I can. And for me to include somebody in my sentiments, my feelings, my sense of what something should be or shouldn't be, are totally wrong. I can only express for myself. So we try and do that. We try and use I instead of we. And you know how people say, you know how people. Said, no, I'm sorry, I don't know that, but that's the idea. But walking away from the program, getting comfortable and feeling, man, what is it I really need now? We discussed this to a degree in the car on the way up here today, too. And I think, Sheldon, you had some thoughts on it because, you know, you're betwixt and between your faith, your godly ventures versus 12 steps and people in 12 steps versus people in church. And you had some thoughts there. You want to share a bit with us?
Yeah, sure. So when I came to the program, 2018, January, when I went to Renaissance, I went to rehab for me. And I surrendered myself to God for me. And, I took the cotton out my ears and I listened to the facilitators at the treatment center. And I started reading the literature and I got myself a sponsor. So, I was taught in treatment that, I should cut off people, places, and things, and which made sense. So I gave up the apartment I was living in, and after I graduated from treatment, I went to a sober living house, and I continued doing my step work with my sponsor, and my faith started to grow stronger in God while I was doing the 12 steps and also working with my sponsor and also building a foundation within the program. Mm-hmm. And I met one gentleman named Ryan Gardner, who actually brought me to his church. I'm a member of that church today, and I got baptized there last year. And Ryan Gardner passed away last year, December, over the Christmas holidays. His mother found them passed away in his bedroom. He overdosed from fentanyl. And, I was really upset about that. I kind of had resentments towards the literature and also the people in the rooms. Mm-hmm. But again, I kept on reminding myself that, it's because of the program why my faith grew stronger in God. So I continued going to church. And this past April, another friend that I was really close with, her name was Kayla Garnett. Mm-hmm. And she passed away. Wow. And again, she passed away from a fentanyl overdose. And I had a lot of resentments again towards the literature and also the rooms. And the problem that I have is that, like, when people struggle, there's really, no one, like, there's really no one to be found, you know what I mean? And yeah. And when you pass, everybody comes out of nowhere, saying that, no, she was my best friend, he was my best friend, and those things upset me. So that's why now, today, I'm like stuck in between, like, should I just stay at church and forget about going to meetings, or can balance both, Right now I'm just stuck in that, the situation right now.
Something, it's very interesting. What I've found after all these years to keep my life in order is I have to have a way of life that has, the key points or the key parts of it in my life every day of my life. And that includes, in my case, faith also, prayer and so on. Mm-hmm. But I have to have the other thing. I have to, it's like, for me, we annually go through the whole program, as you can see. Like, we're on step six because it's a 6 month and so on.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this readiness to have defects removed, and we do that every year. And I've done it for 25 years now.
Yeah.
You know, and every year we go through the same thing, and every year in each month, eyes are opened in a different way to different things. And it's all because of that combination and because of going to meetings and coming to the radio station in the last few years and talking to guys like you and getting different perspectives. And every time I get another little piece of, you know, a gem, as I might call it, or an aha moment, I've got important people to take that gem to, especially in the prison system, in the jails and elsewhere. And, you know, and if I don't do that, I'm just not living up to, I think, what God created me to do. And, you know, and that's to do what not only helps the most, I believe, but also gives me the greatest rewards, because I must be on the right track, because, you know, I go in and out of jails most days. And you know, I don't feel as good I feel better coming out. But what I mean, the experience of going in is always exciting for me.
Right.
Even
right.
after thousands of meetings in there, it's like I go in and I'm excited. Who am I going to talk to today? What are they going to, where are they going to be at? And, you know, will God help me to make their experience a better one because I'm in there? And I go away feeling great. And it's just, so it's rewarding. Right. It's rewarding as heck. Yeah. Anyway, Lloyd, way of life. You've had your sentiments, and one of the biggest ones that I've heard and we've talked about and you've shared about many times is you want to be able to utilize a program that says what I say ours is. We, you know, whether we're 100% at it or not, nobody is, but, you know, we don't want to be hypocritical, but as humans, we know we all sort of are at one point or another. But, you know, you didn't want to be labeled, you know, I don't think. Or if you were labeled, you didn't want to be labeled because of, you know, a drug, a drink, whatever. You just wanted to get well, to share, and to listen to others share. Excuse me. And it wasn't comfortable to go somewhere and say, for instance, you were something that you were not, just so you could take part in the program. Can you share a little bit on that and how you felt and how you're overcoming it, if you are? Or is your sentiment also one of along the lines of our friend Sheldon here, that well, you know, sometimes I consider maybe, you know, not going or going less, or, you know, because I can't seem to change the program, that doesn't work. So yeah. Anyway, where you at?
I wanted to talk a little bit about we're talking about walking away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad that I was, you know, I wasn't a full-blown addict. I was, you know, what we call a functioning user.
Yep.
So I think that kind of helped me in a sense of I wasn't, you know, teeter-tottering and wasn't caught between should I walk away or should I stay? Mm-hmm. I wasn't like that. And, you know, I'm grateful for that because, you know, a lot of people are walking away and they're not coming back. And a lot of people are caught between the revolving door.
Yeah.
And I think because I wasn't, you know, I was a functioning user. I knew when I was going to use, I knew when I wasn't going to use, and I wasn't, you know, wavering back and forth. Yeah. So it kind of helped me. And now that I'm in, I really don't want to go back. And I really have no inclination of going back, and I don't think anything could drive me to go back, because, you know, the steadfast you know how I was, you know, not easily led. So, you know, I'm glad right now today, Scott, that you know, I'm part of the program, and you know, I still haven't done this 12 steps, and I still don't have a sponsor, but I'm 19 months clean today, and you know, I'm doing great, and now I'm trying to give back, you know, and Sheldon and I are trying to give back. We're trying to do what we can, but we realize that we can't, you know, there's going to be people that we can't help, and that's really the sad part about it, you know. Sheldon was talking about Kayla, and, you know, I knew her for a little bit, too, and I wanted to reach out to her, and, you know, I, you know, even feel bad in the way that I didn't get to her, but, You know, we just we can't help everybody, and yeah. it's just sad. But would I go back? I couldn't see myself going back.
You mean go back to using?
Going back to using. Yeah. I couldn't see myself doing that.
And the program, though, what value does it have to you? Like, is it integral to your life, or can you, I think you can obviously live without it. But, you know, can we get to as many people if we leave the rooms, you know, and are we as equipped as we could be at any given time to be what they're going to need when they need it, you know? And I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. You yeah. know, I rack my brain, my head every day.
Yeah.
You know, what more can I do? What more can I do?
And, yeah.
You know, sometimes it gets so frustrating.
Yeah. You know what? You're on the leading edge there. And the reality is, and that's where the rubber meets the road, the reality is few make it, you know. You guys are very fortunate, you know, and for whatever reason, you at this point don't have to use anything and don't feel moved to use, possibly, varying degrees, obviously. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be that way, you know, and things can change, and the worst can come upon us in a yeah, heartbeat, yeah. and so can the best, and it may be forever, it may not. But one thing I found is some way or other, almost all of addicts and alcoholics and so on are exposed at one time or another to the 12-step philosophy. So they, mm-hmm. whether they come and stick it or leave or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You know, if we get a minute, if we get an hour, if we get 10 years with a person who is addicted or feels like they are or unsure or whatever, we can spend enough time to plant some seeds, and yeah. maybe that life is one that he doesn't even stick around but goes away and somehow makes it, you know.
Yeah.
Because if we don't hang around the places, you know, where people are at least looking, and even if they're mandated at some point, you know, that's not the best time. But sometimes a guy's mandated and he goes to a program and it's the right time too.
Yeah.
You know, it does happen. So,
like for me, right now, I'm grateful that I'm here and mm-hmm. I'm able to share my story. Last month, I had a friend brought me to St. Joe's Detox Facility, and he was chairing a meeting there, and he wanted me to share my story. And so when I was sharing my story, there are about 20 people in the meeting, and you know, I shared like how I lost my eyesight, mm-hmm. and I also shared that I was actually at St. Joe's in 2016, and I actually barricaded myself in the bathroom in a psychosis, and it was just, you know, humbling to, you know, tell them that, you know, I was 17 months clean. I was able to yeah. make it, and yeah. You know, and by the power of the program and the grace of God, yeah. I'm still here to share my story. So the program does work for me.
Yeah, and congratulations on the time, both you guys. It's a wonderful yeah. journey, and it's great that you've allowed me to be part and parcel of it as we go along, and we want to keep doing that and as regularly as we can. But you know, that's on and off depending on availability of guests mm-hmm. and so on too. But I'm so interested, and I believe everybody who comes around our rooms anyway is interested in how do the people who come by our program, whether they're there or not, how do they do? What's the long term, you know? And the reality is, like I say, most don't make it. So, yeah. you know, the fact that you're in a place where most come by for a time or not, you know, whether it's CAA, NA, OA, sharing the burden, whatever it is, they, you know, God kind of gets at people from all different angles, and I believe they're all hungry, and, you know, whether they know what they're hungry for or not doesn't matter, you know, and whether in reality, whether someone truly is an addict or someone truly is, you know, a big drinker, mm-hmm. a big user, you know, and one thing about the big book of AA, it got a lot of right things. It talks about, you know, the heavy drinker who lives like an alcoholic forever but doesn't have the genetics and he walks away,
you right.
know, and the other guys can't, you know. And I was one of those guys, so I know that life. I know it inside out. I know how to lose cars, end up behind bars, do this, do that. I know all that stuff. But I could walk away, and it was no problem, and I got better and better. But I had started a faith relationship in the midst of that stuff, And nobody can tell me today whether that faith relationship gave me abstinence and from an emotional standpoint, especially, not so much a physical. I mean, it was funny after, 25 years of heavy drinking almost every day and just walking away, and it's almost like I never did it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's weird. It's almost like you talking about the drugs, you know. And I don't know what that means. Before I forget, folks, Hummingbird Hub, a community effort to bring together charitable concerns, people trying to help people, and so on in a very usable way. They're at 31 Main Street, Stouffville. Sheldon Lloyd and Jay and myself will be dropping by there in about half an hour, about 11:05 or so, and we'll hang around for a little bit. So anyone out there who feels like they'd like to come, share a little, maybe meet some of us, talk, whatever, we'd love to be there with you. So Hummingbird Hub, 6331 Main Street at about 11:05. So back to ways of life versus walking away.
Well, for me, Scott, as a newcomer, when I started going to meetings and I was doing my 90-90, man, I was scared.
Tell them what that is.
Okay, so in the literature, it's suggested to do 90 meetings in 90 days so you could find a home group and where you're comfortable, and also find a sponsor. And so I was doing my 90-90, and one thing that stood out to me is that I saw, a lot of people relapsing who had like multiple years, 10 years, 15 years clean. And that scared me because as a newcomer, I was contemplating like if I should stay here because does the program really work, But Scott said, it's not a we program, it's a I program. So I continue just, focusing on myself and not worry about what's going on around the rooms, and that's why I guess I'm here today and I'm able to stay focused.
Yeah, because this is a room too, and I mean we're doing exactly, we do this at Sharing the Burden, and usually a few more people in this, so we can't just go back and forth. But generally, aside from going through the steps and things we believe come true, and some slogans and so on, we get right into what we're doing here now, and we honestly believe, most of us anyway, that it can make a difference in a life, and that's all it's about, sowing a seed and starting to see with a little more clarity, but to get that clarity, I find I got to keep coming back,
right?
I got to keep going to the jails. I got to, no matter what I feel like, and sometimes I don't want to do that. But I put myself in a place where the commitment I've made, both to God and to people who are involved with me, that it has, I have to do it.
I found I did that too when I first came into the program. Sheldon's talk about the 90-90. I went to, I think, 2 meetings every day for an entire year. So that's probably 700 in 365. So like you said, keep coming back. I tried to encase myself into the program, I hated it at times, but I knew that it
was doing something.
It was something I had to do to get involved fully in the program.
But isn't it great to remember those things? Because it's so, like Lloyd would say, oh man, my life, I just love it. I'm on the beach, I'm doing this, doing that, and I'm thinking, here, let me read you guys a quick little piece here. Well, someone will inevitably reason, God may remove our defects, but he expects us to do the footwork. We can't just sit around and be vegetables on the beach and expect him to do all the work. He expects us to work on our defects. He gave us the brains and expects us to use them. This kind of false logic can be used to procrastinate taking the sixth step indefinitely. Fact is that if you allow God to take over your will and your life, and you truly become ready to have these defects of character removed, you're in no way preparing to become a vegetable. And that's
beautiful.
It has to be in your head,
Yeah,
like, that's the thing.
Definitely, yeah.
But I mean, the remember when's got to hang there too, rough times and the funerals you guys have been to, you know, June 8th, three days ago, was my son's the day he died, you know, and 7 years ago. And, man, that's...
It kind of reminds me when my friend said to me in 2012, when I lost my sight in 2011, he said to me, you know, I can't just sit on my couch and complain and expect a miracle coming knocking on my door. Yeah. He said, you got to get up and try and stop pointing fingers why your life is this way. And, you know, this may be a little bit cliche, whatever, but he said, you know, God helps those who helps himself, and I took his advice, and yeah, I'm here today with a smile on my face.
Wonderful. And Lloyd, your upbringing, you were in and out of, you know, we'll call it religious living, if you will, for a bit. Not that we believe in, I certainly don't anyway. Religion, I find, is very destructive, but a relationship with God or with a higher power, that the way you see the higher power of God is of ultra importance. What's it like being, you know, thrust in, thrown out, thrust in? You know what I mean? Like, and now you're obviously, I mean, you're a man. You've worked hard for a long time. You retired well. And what's it like when you look back on all that? I mean, where does it fit into your life now? And is it making a mess of it, maybe?
Now that I look back at it, it did cause a lot of PTSD issues and you know, mental issues like that. But, you know, like I said before, my mom is a Pentecostal minister, and I'm quite sure she's ministering today. And you know, she had an idea of, you know, of God and you know, and the instructions that God gave for us, and that she entrusted on me, and you know, and at the same time, you know, we all have our individual mindset, and I knew, or I wanted to seek for myself, because you know, they told me that in the end, you know, everybody has to answer for themselves. So I ventured out to seek for myself, and it kind of cost me, because you know, it ended. She ended up throwing me out of the house, and you know, I grew up on the street, and you know, but I know that there's a creator. I know that there's somebody that created us, but because I don't believe in evolution, but you know, I think it's an individual thing. Like they said, like, you know, two people can read a scripture and get two different meaning out of it, and you know, it hurt me a bit, but you know, I think it's helping me now when I look back at it, because you know, I've developed my own mindset, and I developed a more sound effect of who my creator is, and you know, that's what I'm using to guide me along. But it was a terrible childhood, terrible journey, and you know, sometimes I don't realize how fortunate and grateful I am to be this far, but I am.
But it's tough though, that in that you know, that the same lady who, you know, shoved it down your throat and away for a while, abandoned you when you probably needed most the love that supposedly our God and our Savior came here to show us. So that had to impact. I mean, how, you know, that certainly doesn't sound like a, you know, a loving God of any kind. You know, and so many turn away from the church because of things like that, you know, and you had the perfect example.
Father's Day is a very... not very joyous for me, like, you know, because I met my mom when I was 8 at the airport, and you know, I don't know my dad, and you know, I just found out this year who my dad was, and you know, I'm well into my 50s, and so there's a lot of reasons for me to use, know what I mean, but
escape.
There's a lot of reason for me to use drugs as an escape, but no, I don't do that anymore. You know, I'm looking for a new way to live. You know,
and a
better way to live, and I realize that you know, people are dying. And I don't want to go there.
You know, and everyone that we sow any seed in, whether we lose them or not, it's still the right thing. That you know, I'm, yeah. I'm convinced of that. And some, you know, so often a seed gets transferred from even a person who we lose to another person who takes it and does the right thing and affects thousands maybe, and we don't know, you know. We just have to assume the right thing is the right thing, and I often use that analogy of, you know, good is good. If you walk by a garbage can and there's 1,000 pieces of paper on the sidewalk and you pick up one, that's better than the guy who walks by and says, well, you know, what an idiot, he only picked up one and there's 1,000 there. Yeah, but there's one less to pick up. Good is good, no matter how much you do. If you can pick up two or five, great, but it doesn't matter. Good is good, and don't let anyone convince you to walk by the thing if you've only got time to pick up one. Do it. And if it's a live animal, like throwing a little, you know, crustacean or something back into the sea, it saves a life. And
I just wanted to add that that's one of my character defects, too. You know, like forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, forgiving my mom and for what she did. And, you know, that's a big character defect for me.
Huge.
You know, forgiveness.
Yeah. Huge enemy to dump that resentment. Anyway, hold that thought, because I want to go into that a little more. And Jay, why don't you take us out for a quick break there, and we'll be back. Scott sharing the burden with Lloyd and Sheldon. Be back in a bit.